Lord, we do thank you as we come to the conclusion of this book in Habakkuk. Lord, we thank you that you've spoken to us, Lord, in every single chapter. And I do pray in this final chapter that you would just continue to life us, continue to comfort, Lord, correct, train us in righteousness. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would just be at work in us as we look through chapter 3 tonight. I pray that these words would be so deeply embedded in our hearts that no matter what the future holds, we will remember what Habakkuk has taught us in this chapter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So has anyone been able to read through the last chapter, chapter 3? I'm just curious. One, two, three. Okay, I'm just asking because I don't know if I should read through the whole thing or you guys, if you read through it. Okay, I'm hearing yeah, no. So whatever yeah, no means. Okay. Well, if you didn't read through it, you could read through it. Because I'm afraid it's going to take up too much time for me to read through everything and then go through my notes. Because I think I have a lot in this, but it still is early. But we're looking at the sixth habit of living by faith. And that is to remember to sing praise to God. Remember to sing praise to God. That's what Habakkuk teaches us in this chapter. And we're going to see that. And we have to think about this is on the heels of what we looked at last week, all the woes that were pronounced. Okay, so there were several woes that were pronounced, meaning God's judgment that was coming. And yet in the midst of that, he was able to sing. Isn't that incredible? In his prayer, in chapter 3, Habakkuk 3, verses 1 and 2, he prays this prayer that we've heard, I'm sure, however long you've been walking with the Lord, you've heard this quoted before, where he says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known in wrath. Remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. And you think about all the times God has extended mercy when his judgments are poured out, right? We can even think back in our lives when God was judging sin in our lives. Or maybe in the lives of our spouses or children, grandchildren, we saw his mercy in it, right? Yes. And it's amazing how Habakkuk prayed that. He had been told, he saw what was coming. He heard the woes that we talked about last week. And his prayer is, God, have mercy. In the midst of it all, have mercy like you always have had mercy. And when you look at who God is a God of covenant, right? He keeps his promises to his children. And there's some scriptures there that you could read to do a further deeper study on this. Hebrews 6, verse 13 through 30. Hebrews 7, verse 22. Hebrews 8, verses 1 through 13. Hebrews 10, verses 15 through 17. And verses 35 through 39. And all of those verses, what you'll find is God has made a covenant with his people. In the New Testament, a blood covenant with us through Jesus' death on the cross. And we can cling to that. And that's what we find, right? If you remember in the beginning, when we started this Bible study, Habakkuk wasn't clinging to God. He wasn't embracing him. He was wrestling with him. But he's come to a point now where he's clinging to God and he's clinging to his promises. And he knows God is faithful. We sang that tonight, that God keeps his covenant. And even though times were going to get hard, he knew he could trust God in the midst of however hard they get. And what is amazing, as we read verses 3, really all the way through verse 15, as we read all those verses, Habakkuk begins to recall the different historical events that took place in history in order to remind himself of who God is. And in verses 3 to 10, he recalls how God divinely intervened in Egypt when Israel was in trouble. It says, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His light was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cush in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. Selah. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the waters passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. And I'm going to stop there. What we see is Habakkuk is recalling how God intervened in Egypt to deliver his people from out of Pharaoh's reign over them. And remember, they were in Egypt for 400 years. And this was a history that the Hebrews passed on from generation to generation. They would pass it on. When you read the Old Testament, it constantly says, remember, remember, remember. Don't forget, remember. And the reason why we're told to remember, they're told to remember, not to forget, is because when that next trial comes, which we know will come, we can remember God's faithfulness in the past, and we realize, God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change. You never change. We change, but you don't. And here Habakkuk is reminding himself of God's faithfulness in the past. And whenever you read that word Selah, it means to meditate on this, to ponder it, to take it in, to muse, M-U-S-E, muse, what's being said there, which is like a cow eating curd, am I saying it right? And regurgitating it again. So, chewing the cud, yeah, thank you, curd. That's butter, right? I'm a city girl. I don't know about country. I was close. I just said it. But then in verse 11, he also talks about how when God divinely intervened at the request of Joshua, remember when they were fighting, and he said, the sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittery spear. So he's recalling all the things about God that he has heard about, that he knows for himself, that are true about God, that he can rest in, that knowledge of who he is in the midst of what's coming. And in verses 16 through 19, I should have read a little further, but it's a lot in there. It talks about, well, let me go to verse 12, just to keep it all in context so I'm not jumping to 16 yet. But think about what we just looked at. Egypt, what God delivered his people from. Joshua, how God gave him victory in the battle. Verse 12 says, you marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. Selah. Again, meditate on that. You thrust through with his own arrows the heads of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses through the heap of great waters. And then verse 16, when he thinks about who God is. And remember, when we go back to that verse 2 in chapter 3, he says, oh Lord, I've heard your speech and was afraid. Right? And we looked at that last week. How do we live then? If we know God's judgment is coming, the woes that he pronounced, right? We looked at that last week. We got to learn how to walk in the fear of the Lord, right? To fear God. Well, now, verse 16, when he thinks about God and how he has intervened in the past, and he sees the current problem that he's living under in society, the civil unrest, the injustices, the oppression, the violence, the sexual sin, everything we looked at in chapter 1, and he knows what's coming. 70 years of captivity is coming. The fearsomeness of who God is and what is about to happen grips him, and he feels the pressure of it. And he says in verse 16, when I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. And it's amazing because he is having physical symptoms over what he sees is coming down the road. His body's being affected by what he knows is going to happen. But yet, in verse 17, he says, through 19, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high mountains. And the bottom of that verse there says, to the chief musician with my stringed instruments, meaning he sang this. This was a song of praise in the midst of everything he had seen, was in, and knew what was coming. He had praise in his heart. And when you read about these high places, they are the hills that surrounded Jerusalem, and they still surround Jerusalem to that day, Mount Moriah, the Mount of Olives, and Mount Zion. And each of them connect to several deep, rocky valleys, which creates a natural fortress with the ability to hide from enemies. And you see it, especially when you go to Israel and you go to En Gedi and you're climbing up. I mean, it's a hard trek up there because it's all rock and the rocks are loose and it's cliffs and caves. And, you know, going up is always easy. It's coming down that you realize, how am I going to get down from here? Because it's so steep that it's, and the rocks are going from your feet, that it's dangerous. It's very narrow. So, but you see how there is a place to hide in the midst from your enemies, and you wonder, wow, was David in that cave or that cave or that cave or that cave? And these caves are humongous. They're not like a little cave. They're humongous where you can get lost in there and live in there. So it's amazing how he had to be reflecting on his surroundings. You know, the reality of the surroundings. And also seeing the wildlife in those areas, how they just leaped from mountain to mountain. It's fascinating. If you could ever take a trip to Israel, I would highly recommend it. You never read your Bible the same again. I mean, it's incredible. Technical difficulty. I just took my vest off and my mic is on the vest, so for recording. That's why it's going silent. So Habakkuk chooses to sing to God in the midst of devastating circumstances, and he chooses to trust God no matter how dark it might get. I would say we have a lot to learn from him, right? We have a lot to learn from him. Sometimes when we feel the least like singing, that is the time we need to do it the most. Because remember, the sixth habit of living by faith is to remember to sing praise to God. So even when we don't feel like it, I mean, how many times maybe you're going through a trial and the last thing you want to do is sing praise to God? Right? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, praise is usually the last thing. Usually it's more complaining, whining. God, I don't understand. Why do we have to go through this? Yada, yada, yada. Right? But as I was thinking about this point, even when we don't feel like it, I thought about that song. I'll praise you in the storm. I kiss and crowns. And I'm going to read the words, because I'm hoping next time you hear this on the radio, it'll bring back this teaching to your remembrance. So that's why I want to read the words to you. I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. How many of us feel that way? As the thunder rolls, I barely hear your whisper through the rain. I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you. I have to make a choice to do this in this storm. And I will lift my hands, for you are who you are. No matter where I am, no matter what. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. Though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raise me up again. My strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear your whisper through the rain. I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hand and praise the God who gives and takes away. I'll praise you in the storm, and I'll lift my hands, for you are who you are no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. Though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. I will choose to. I will lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I'll praise you in the storm, and I'll lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. And this is a beautiful example of what it means to praise God, to sing praise when you are in the storm, in the midst of it. Those winds and waves are blowing and you feel like you're going to be knocked over. I don't know how many of you have got pushed over by a wave. It's not fun, right? When you're out there and a wave comes and just comes from nowhere and knocks you over. I mean, you go under and you feel like, where am I? And am I... You're just so discombobulated. Well, we can choose when we feel that way to still praise God, like we heard in the song, the lyrics to these words, to the song. Corrie ten Boom said, the object of your greatest pain can become the source of your greatest blessing when you offer it to God. Did you hear that? The object of your greatest pain, and we all have it. We all have an object that is great pain, sorrow to our heart. But it can become the source of your greatest blessing when you offer it to God. You know, it's amazing why we can sing when we don't feel like it is because suffering opens us up to a greater reality and knowledge of who God is in our lives. Think about every trial you've gone through, every hardship, every suffering you've gone through. God has used it to reveal himself to us in new ways, or maybe in ways that we have forgotten about what he's like and who he is. And what we see is when we can give thanks to him in those hard times, it really prepares us for whatever the future holds. And that's what Habakkuk is teaching us here as he looks back at the past and remembers how God intervened in the history of Israel and remembers God's faithfulness in the midst of what he's going through, which is a very dark, difficult time. And he sees what's on the horizon. He's still choosing to do what we're hearing. Despite his feelings, he's still praising God. Habakkuk also teaches us to remember to sing to God when we're terrified. Because if you remember, he said, my body. Other translation means my bowels, meaning he had intestinal problems, trembled. His lips quivered. He felt like rottenness entered into his bones. He trembled within himself. And what we see from that is our bodies are affected by our emotions. How many of us may be so upset over something and we don't feel like eating? I know I could get like that. If I'm really upset over something, I don't eat. I have no appetite. But then you start feeling the effects of that. Not drinking water, not eating. Then you're not sleeping right, right? So the body, our emotions are affected by our body. And even though Habakkuk was terrified to the point of having these physical symptoms that we're reading about, again, yet he chose to sing. And it's really a test to see in those times that we are facing, that we're terrified of the future or the present, it's really a test to see, are we going to bow down to fear and doubt? Are we going to give in to our emotions? See, we see how Habakkuk chose to deal with his emotional upsets, right? He sang his way through them. He said, yet I will rejoice. When I'm terrified, I'm going to choose to rejoice in God. Who he is, what he's like, his faithfulness, his covenant that he's made with me, with his people. Habakkuk chooses to rejoice in the Lord. And I think about the Apostle Paul that says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why did Apostle Paul have to tell us two times in one verse? Because it's hard to rejoice, right? When we're terrified or going through something that is just, we feel is totally out of our control. But we have to remember, God is in control of everything. We looked at that, right? Embed our questions with truths about who God is. We looked at that. Do you know that singing is one way we can meditate on God's truth when we're afraid. Have you ever noticed that? Some of the songs we sing here in worship, maybe you come here, there's got a bad report from the doctor, right? But you come into the service and you start singing a worship song, and it's a reminder of who he is in the midst of it. And it helps us to meditate on the reality, the truths of who God is, that it brings comfort and peace and a settling in our spirit, in our inner man, right? In the Psalms, we see that all throughout the Psalms. The Psalms are songs to sing when you're going through trials, through hardships. David wrote a lot of those Psalms when he was running for his life, hiding in those caves in En-Gedi. And look how we benefit from them. You know, because we can see our emotions in the Psalms. Discouragement, confusion, fear, terror, groaning, anxiety. I mean, David had it all. It would be good if you want to do a really good Bible study, go through the Psalms and look at the ones that David wrote and look at all the emotions he was dealing with as he was running for his life, where his son turned against him and tried to take the kingdom from him and had his own following. I mean, he was going through some emotional stuff, but yet in the midst of it, he chose also to sing praise to God. And the Psalms are songs to sing. To sing. So we can have peace in the midst of whatever is terrifying us, whatever we're fearful of. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. You all know that portion of scripture where it talks about when we're fearful, anxious, or worried about anything, what to give thanks to the Lord and pray, right? And I love this because I use this in counseling a lot for people that struggle with fear, anxiety, or worry. This is God's prescription for mankind. He has a prescription for anxiety. And his prescription works and there's no side effects. We don't have to allow emotions to control us. I love that. When I see David, when I see Habakkuk, just different ones that struggle, just like we do with our emotions, and I see God bringing them through that struggle, it shows me I don't have to be a slave to my emotions. My emotions don't have to control me. But we have to choose, right? God's way. That's the only way. A beautiful example of this, I think about the hymn that was written, "It Is Well With My Soul." I'm gonna give you a little history on this song, how this song came about. Some of you might already know it. The hymn was written in 1873 by Horatio Spafford. And after a season of devastation, his two-year-old son was killed in the Great Chicago Fire in 1872. His successful business fell apart as a result of the economic downturn the city faced. Then his four daughters drowned when a ship crossing the Atlantic Ocean sank, and shortly thereafter, he traveled by boat to meet his grieving wife. When the vessel passed near where his daughters died, he penned the words to "It Is Well." 125 years later, we are still medicating our souls when we are meditating through this song. When we choose to sing it, we are saying, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." Whenever we sing, "It is well with my soul." And I don't know how many times you've sang it in church, but I could think of many times where I've gone to a church service since I got saved in 1984, stepped into a church service, going through something very heavy or very terrifying in my own mind, and they would sing that song, and it was just like a prayer from my heart. "It's well with my soul, Lord. I don't have to try to figure it out. But I take this thing that's plaguing me and I'm offering it back to you, like we heard early on in this talk, offering it back to the Lord. And when we do that, we're able to say, Lord, whatever the outcome is, it's well with my soul. Whatever the outcome is. And it may not turn out the way I want it to turn out, but it's still well with my soul because I know who you are in the midst of it. I know who you are. So we can choose to rejoice in the Lord no matter what. No matter what our emotions are telling us, we can choose to rejoice in him. So Habakkuk also teaches us to remember to sing what we believe. We sing what we believe, right? Why do we do this? So we can have an eternal perspective in the midst of the storm of what God is doing or going to do, whether it's personally, nationally, globally. For example, I'll give you some examples here. Remember, we sing what we believe. Psalm 66, verse 10 through 12. One of my favorite psalms because Jeff and I have lived through this. We're going to be married 30 years. We have lived through this. It says, for you, O Lord, or O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our back. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Isn't that beautiful? Who's the one doing it? You, God. You're allowing these things. But I can sing through it because I know you're going to bring me out into rich fulfillment. You do it every time. What's that rich fulfillment? I get to know you in a greater way. You become more of a treasure to me in those times. Everything else pales in comparison to you. Romans 8, 18. We need to make a song out of that, Psalm 66. Romans 8, 18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this time, this present time, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So remember, we're singing what we believe that God, even though I am suffering right now, doesn't compare to the glory that's going to be revealed in my life, through my life to other people. So I could sing through it. Even though it's painful, it hurts, I don't like it, I wouldn't want it this way. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, Lord. Because there's going to be a glory that you're going to be able to reveal through my life. And I know there's women here in this room that have gone through hard things. But God's glory is being revealed through your life. And people are testifying to that. They're saying, who are you? That's not like you. Well, that comes through the fire. Comes through the fire. Romans 8, 28 and 29, we sing what we believe because we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And we can sing because we know what God's word says is true. In the midst of what we go through, in the midst of however dark it gets in our society, we can still have a song. I love Isaiah 26 that talks about that. that there's so much stuff going on all around, but in the midst, God's people are singing. They're singing. God's teaching us how to sing our way through it, to sing. I love this poem. I used to always use this poem when I went out speaking to women, and I just love it. And I'm gonna read it to you. The author is unknown, but it's called "I've Been Through the Valley of Weeping." And again, it's my testimony. "The Valley of Sorrow and Pain. But the God of all comfort was with me, at hand to uphold and sustain. As the earth needs the clouds and sunshine, our soul needs both sorrow and joy. So he places us often in the furnace that draws from the gold to destroy. When he leads through some valley of trouble, his omnipotent hand we can trace. For the trials and sorrows he sends us are part of his lessons in grace. Often we shrink from the pruning and purging, forgetting the husbandman knows that the deeper the cutting and paring, the richer the clusters that grow." Right, Tina? "While he knows affliction is needed, he has a wise purpose in view. And in the dark valley, he whispers, 'Hereafter, you will know what I do.' As we travel through life's shadowed valley, fresh springs of his love ever rise. And we learn that our sorrows and losses are blessings just sent in disguise." Right? "So we'll follow wherever he leads us. Let the path be dreary or bright. For we've proved that our God can give comfort. Our God can give songs in the night." How many of you can raise your hand to that? Yes. Yes. He does give us a song in the midst of it. It's amazing, right? So amazing. So whenever we are fearing of what's coming, just to recap before we hit the last point here, we can sing when we don't feel like it. We can sing to God when we're terrified. We can sing what we believe about God. And lastly, remember to sing like you're loved. Some of you don't really believe you're loved. I can't tell you how many times I hear in counseling, "God must be punishing me because I'm going through this trial, or he's not pleased with me." You know, I used to think that when I first got saved back in the 80s. I thought God was punishing me, especially the first few years of my marriage. I thought I was being punished. I have two sister-in-laws in this room. They know what we went through. And I thought God was punishing me because of the choices I made. But he wasn't punishing me. He wanted to reveal himself to me. He wanted me to know how much I needed him too. He wanted me to know that he's my husband. That he's the only one that can truly satisfy the longing of my heart. Not a person. Because I always look to people. Relationships. With different men. To satisfy a longing in my heart. It always came up empty. And God said, "I have the perfect man for you. And he's going to totally fail you in the beginning of my marriage. But I'm teaching you a lesson." And it was a wonderful lesson that I needed to learn. I really needed to learn that. But some of us feel like, "God, you really don't love me. Or I have to earn your love." And that's not true. He sent his son to die for us while we were yet sinners, Romans tells us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who else would have done that? I don't know anyone on planet Earth that would do that for me. No one. But God, He's love. Jesus loves you. He loves you, and that's why we can sing. Because we know we're loved. Even if we're alone, we feel alone, we are still loved by God. Jesus loves us. He's married to us. In the midst of darkness all around us, we can sing because we are loved by God who has made a covenant with His people. And He gave His blood, Jesus' blood, for that covenant to be with us. Jeremiah 31:3 says, and this is the New International Version, "The Lord has appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness." Hasn't He?
Yes.
He's drawn me with unfailing kindness. I sure did not deserve it, and I still don't deserve it. We all know what we're like. And yet He loves us. That's amazing to me. We can sing. We can sing. John 3:16. We all know this. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God says, I gave my only begotten Son for you. Put your name there. For you. And we've looked at Romans 8:35-39 several times while we've done the class. What can separate us from God's love? Nothing. Nothing. It's eternal, everlasting. We can sing. Even when we don't feel like it, even when we're terrified, we can sing because we believe these words are true. They are true. Despite what the world says, they're true. No matter how much they try to quiet us, they're true. God never changes. He's the only one that never changes. I'm so grateful for that. While the world changes, while things are being shaken, He doesn't. And somehow Habakkuk knew that deep within his heart, that he knew even if the fig trees don't blossom and the trees and there's no cattle in the stall, even if it all falls apart, I can still praise God. And I could trust Him to make me to rise up like a deer onto high places. I could trust Him. You know, when a deer goes on those high places, he's looking down into the valley. God wants to raise us to that high place with Him, where we can look down and see a greater one that's sovereign over it all. And that's what Habakkuk saw. He saw a greater one that had been faithful throughout the history of the Jewish people. Faithful, sovereign over it all, of everything that was going on down in the valley. It was all going according to His will, because God spoke it. It was going to happen. That they would go into captivity for 70 years into Babylon. And our next study is Esther, which talks about when they came out with Babylon. Esther, Mordecai chose to stay in Babylon, but the Jewish people during that time went back to their homeland. And that's like a perfect book to study after this one, because it's like 70 years later. And we see God's faithfulness, where he preserved the Jewish people during her time so the Messiah can come. Tell me God don't love us. That he would do that. Not only for the Jewish people, but for us Gentile dogs. Which is what the Bible calls us. He's amazing. He's amazing. So we can choose to be a people of faith and praise. No matter what comes. God may seem silent, like we looked at the first week, if you remember. He seemed silent, but he wasn't silent at all. He always has a plan to deal with evil eventually. Even though we may not see it in our lifetime, he will do it. Because his word says so. His word says so. So we can wait on the Lord in confidence that he will work everything out for his good, but it's in his time, not in ours. We want it in our time. I mean, we just do. And because we're Americans, it makes it worse because we want everything like this. But God doesn't work that way. You know, he doesn't work that way. So as we conclude this class, it's been a blessing studying this book with you. I love this book. There's so many times I look at it and I remember what I've studied, going through it a second time. And I've said to Jeff, I've said this on tape before, I'll say I'm Habakkuk, you know, just with some of the things he wrestles with and so on and so forth with what's going on. But reality is, God is teaching us in this time how to really shine for him in the midst of everything. So as we highlight what we've studied the past 7-8 weeks, the 6 habits of living by faith in dark times. Number 1 is remember to wrestle with God when he seems silent. Number 2, remember to look to see where God is at work. Number 3, remember to embed questions for God with truth. Number 4, remember to watch for God's answer. Number 5, remember to fear God. And number 6, remember to sing praise to God. Remember to sing praise to him. So again, this Bible study, if you would like to do it, it's from Revive Our Hearts from Dana Gresh. And it gets more into detail about what we've looked at. I just try to take highlights from each week and build a teaching off of it. But it's definitely worth going through it to go deeper into the study for yourself. So, Lord, I do want to thank you for just allowing me to be able to teach this book. I pray, Lord, that every word that we have studied together would not return void in our own lives, Lord, that we would remember these words, especially when we need them, Lord. I pray for those that listen to us online, those that are in this body that have not been able to come to the class. I pray, again, that they would not be left out in the teaching, Lord, that they would take it to heart what we have studied as well. And you see the different trials that different ones are going through in this body, Lord. And I pray that you would teach them how to sing their way through it, Lord, to sing through it and to glorify you through it no matter what, Lord. I pray this and ask this in Jesus' name, Lord. And I pray that you would just continue to keep every single one of us, Lord. Help us to be faithful to the end, Lord, I ask this, Father, so that when we see you face to face, you will say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah, Lord. What a glorious and wonderful day that will be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.